Well, good afternoon, everybody. About 10 seconds past noon on the 1st of September, 2020. And thank you for being with us today, this first day of September. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. All right, I got a nice show today. We're going to talk about building student confidence. They got a new SEL idea out there. It's called Let Grow. It's at letgrow.org. We have their Vice President of School Programs, Andrea Keith, who's been with us before, and she's going to talk to us about making kids really work, destroying, changing the conventional wisdom about how much our kids can do. If we give them a chance, the opportunity, it'll build their confidence. And she's going to get into real detail with that with the company she works with, the 501c3 nonprofit called Let Grow. And again, letgrow.org. It's going to be a nice show. And in this day and age, this is so important, okay, because we can't see every kid every day. We got to make sure we're doing the right things for us. It's going to be a nice show with Andrea, which we're going to archive at education-talkradio.org, our website where we put a new schedule up every Saturday and where everything's archived over there. Go over, check it out. Please join our Equity Consortium, the American Consortium for Equity and Education, over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Okay, which, by the way, is a kind of an acronym for American Consortium for Equity in Education. We're working hard to create solutions in equity, not just talk about it, bringing educators and the industry together, okay, to make things happen out there. So please, we want your voice heard. We want you involved. It's all free to educators. It includes a subscription to our online journal, which you can see over at the website, ace-ed.org. Our magazine is called Equity and Access. You'll love it. We're putting together our back-to-school issue now. It'll be out next week. So please join with us. Everything's free over at our Consortium for Equity, ace-ed.org. And now, as I like to say, here's Andrea. There she is. Hi, Andrea. Welcome back.
Hi, Larry. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Where are you these days?
I actually now live in Las Vegas.
Whoa, a high roller, Andrea Keith. Wow.
No, I don't gamble. That's why it's safe for me to live here.
That's good. Are you in the outskirts, like Summerlin, or are you right downtown?
Kind of Southern Highlands. Mm-hmm.
Okay, beautiful. Beautiful. That's great. Well, good luck out there, okay? It's good to have you there. And how long have you been with Let Grow?
I've been with Let Grow for about 9 months.
Wow, congratulations on that. They're lucky to have you. You're the VP of School Programs. It's great. And what I said at the beginning, I love this. You're trying to break the conventional wisdom, and I'm making this simple. This is a simplification about how much our kids can do, and I got to talk about that. Because I work a lot with Johns Hopkins University and their education department and all that. And they are stern believers in rigorous curriculum. The more you challenge a kid, the better they will do. But that's the academic side, okay?
Uh-huh.
And this is kind of the social-emotional side, if I may, the activity side of that to build confidence. So I want to hear all about it. So why don't you just give us a quick overview of Let Grow. Go a little deeper than I just did. Andrea.
Yeah. So essentially, what Let Grow has discovered is the increases in anxiety and kids being more depressed and struggling with school, a lot of this, we really believe, is a result of a fairly significant change in parenting that's happened within the last couple of generations. We had generations for goodness, hundreds of years, where kids were essentially running around, playing outside with their peers, learning the social-emotional skills simply by having to negotiate with their friends to keep the play going. They learned kind of where their limits were. They fell down. They got back up. All of these social-emotional competencies that we're now specifically trying to teach in schools were naturally happening for most kids. And they came into school with those. So now the problem is we've got kids who they want to be told what to do, what should this look like. They're told by their parents, unintentionally, parents have the best of intentions, but what they're telling their kids is, oh, let me do that for you. You're not capable of doing that yet, or that's too dangerous. You can't do that. And so what happens is these kids come into school with a lot of these kind of internalized messages, and they go through school on the academic side trying to be independent learners and student agency, owning their work and those types of things. And all of that rigor is great. But if they then go home and they're protected in a bubble and the message that they're constantly subliminally getting is that they're not capable, that makes it really hard for them to succeed in school.
It does. And there's a sense of dependency as opposed to independence, and that carries over into academics and into your thought patterns and all that's incredible. So put then what you do, let grow into what you, that philosophy, which I agree with, by the way, of what you just said, and how does it manifest itself, what you're doing, letgrow.org, into a school?
So essentially, we have a few school programs that are free, the biggest one being the Let Grow Project. And it's really a matter of, it's a homework assignment. You can't see my air quotes, but I'm air quoting homework assignment.
Yeah. Homework, I'm because, doing it too. Homework assignment, okay.
Yes. So the idea is that the teachers send this parent letter home, and the kids go home, and their homework assignment is to do something by themselves they haven't done before without parental help or supervision. And so it could be something as simple as making their lunch. It could be doing their laundry. It could be walking to the mailbox by themselves and getting the mail. You know, it just depends on the child because every child is different. But what
grade are you talking about? I meant to ask you.
We're talking probably kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay.
Yeah. It actually really goes across the grade levels. And so.
No, it's great. I just wanted to know. Yeah, so people could put it in perspective.
Yeah. And so what that does is, frequently what that does is it kind of forces the parent to take the step back because it's a homework assignment, so they kind of buy into it. And for a lot of these kids, what they do is they gradually kind of increase their level of independence. The parents start recognizing that, oh, my gosh, you're way more capable than I thought you were.
Yeah.
And that becomes kind of just an ongoing building of confidence. And for kids, it's really about finding that internal locus of control. And so you mentioned that they need to be able to recognize themselves as being able to be capable and independent and do things on their own. And so we're really trying to help the parents step back so that the kids can step up.
Yeah, and especially in this day and age where the kids are home a lot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're not heading – well, it's both, but obviously these days, okay, these are scary times. And the more you can deal with it, okay, the better off we are. I must ask, and I'm just kind of being the devil's advocate here, is there pushback from parents? Like, I don't know, let's say the kid goes out to the mailbox, something that simple, for the first time by themselves and gets their hands caught in the mailbox. That's ridiculous. But you know what I mean. Okay, and I'm asking if there's any pushback or anything from parents that you've heard about, the level of what the teachers are doing, you know, because that's moving into the home. And I think that's good, but it is homework, as we like to say. But I don't know. Go ahead. Talk to me about that part.
The way it's presented really is the idea is that the kids and the parents are supposed to kind of talk about what is it that they're comfortable with them doing take that first step. So some parents it might be something really simple, and you know, the kids, oh my gosh, there's middle schoolers out there whose parents don't let them cut their own meat at dinner. So maybe they let them use a knife.
It's time to change that.
I was shocked when I heard that story. It's true.
I imagine there are those people, and that's really not good. Okay, but move on. Yeah.
One student's kind of let grow moment is for another student maybe kind of, well, duh, I do that all the time. And so it's very important that the parents and the kids, they discuss what's going to happen, and the kids don't just go do something without their parents' permission.
Mm-hmm.
Could a kid get their hand stuck in a mailbox? Yeah, it could happen.
That was ridiculous. That was the only thing I could think of. I apologize for coming up with something so – get their head caught in the mailbox. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
We've got kids who, like, climb a tree. That seems like a thing that for certain generations, we just climbed trees. Did we occasionally fall out? Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, there is that risk. But the problem is we so overprotect our kids from any of these little risks that by the time they're adults, they're afraid of everything and are not – that resilience and the grit that we talk about in education, that has to come from home. You can't do it at school and then have – a completely different message happening at home and expect kids to
That's
become these wonderfully independent learners and go on and become entrepreneurs and innovators if they've lived in wrapped in bubble wrap all their lives.
And you know, that's the interesting point. It's the point that I missed bringing up as we were talking about this. And you said it far better than I did. This has to be coordinated, okay, between home and school, because the skills that one will learn is interchangeable. Because what you just said, we could be doing a show for parents. And we could say, okay, have your kid walk out to the mailbox and get the mail. Okay, and have them walk back, a five-year-old kid, that's a big deal. All right?
Yep.
I agree with that. But there's a school side of this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to ask you. The child, let's just use the silly analogy of the kid climbing a tree, opening the mailbox, whatever the kid may be. But they did that. Now what happens the next day? In other words, what's the school side of this? The kid goes back, the child, the student, goes to school the next day. Well, now what's the teacher going to do with that?
So that's really up to the teachers. What we've seen really, for the most part, is along the lines of a celebration and sharing their let grow moments. So we see a lot of schools that are – they've got like a paper tree on the wall, and the kids fill out a little leaf, my let grow moment. So they're kind of bragging about it, they're talking about it, and that allows them to kind of celebrate each other, to see what other kids are doing. And what usually happens is these kids end up doing a lot more projects than they're assigned.
Of course they will. Of course they will.
You know, and they enjoy that. So that also helps the school culture, because what happens within the school then is the school is recognizing these accomplishments and the social emotional learning that's going along, and then the teachers can use those types of things. You know, in any curriculum area, we've got teachers who use it as, I'm going to teach writing a personal narrative, for example. And so we tell the kids, okay, what was your let grow moment last week? You're going to write a narrative about what it is that you did. So they can bring those things into the classroom however they choose to. But the beauty of it is it can be something so simple. So we're not asking teachers to take time out of their day and, oh, my gosh, here's one more thing I have to do. So some people do a lot with it, and it's a big deal within the whole school. And some people do, you know, less with it, or do it only once, maybe, you know, right before spring break or something like that.
Yeah.
But it ties into all kinds of character and SEL and school culture types of initiatives, however they like.
It does indeed. And you just brought up something. Can you give us an example of one of the bigger programs that did this, okay, in some of the school districts that you said, well, you've seen some really great examples. Give somebody one so they can really understand it down deep, what a teacher has actually done, what an educator has actually done.
Yeah, a good example at the middle school level was a teacher she was a school counselor, and at the middle school she was having her kids do the Let Grow project, and they had to bring in something each week. And the fascinating thing was, as these kids brought things, and they were in kind of a little bit of a rural area, so these were kids that pre-pandemic did some things like rode their bike into town by themselves at, you know, 12 or 13 years old. That was a really big deal for these kids. Well, because they were all doing it together as a school, they started hanging out with each other and having some of those kind of social things. And as a group, they'd go get ice cream. Really simple things that for those of us who grew up in a certain time was just kind of the way life was. But for these kids, they reported huge decreases in levels of anxiety in general, because they started to build that confidence. And we see anxiety at the middle school. It's horrible. It's getting worse all the time. So the fact that this is a simple way that cost no money, cost no real time other than the counselor's effort, it was hugely powerful.
Well, this is an odd question. I've been asking it with a little smile on my face. Why are you guys doing this? Who thought of this? How did it come about?
So this comes from
actually...
I don't
mean that to sound as silly as it does. I do have a smile on my face.
No, it's not silly at all.
Yeah.
Because we have some really interesting founders. So our president, one of our founders, is Lenore Scanese, who was the world's worst mom and let her kid ride a subway. This was years ago, right? And she founded Free Range Parenting. Then what happened is a couple of years ago, she ended up connected with Dr. Peter Gray, who is a huge proponent of unstructured free play and has written a couple of books, and a psychologist. And then Jonathan Haidt, who wrote The Coddling of the American Mind. And they got together because what they were seeing was that the kids were coming into college. They were so fragile, you know, trigger warnings, and I can't be upset in any way. And they were really concerned that that's what they were getting at the college level, and how on earth are these kids going to be prepared to deal with the world? And so they got together with Lenore and founded Let Grow with the idea that we have to teach the independence and the resilience, and kids need to have all of these experiences as they're young so that when they get older, they can do these things. They can become the adults that we need them to become. And so when I joined the organization, I was just so impressed with the whole philosophy and the idea that we need to make some shifts within the culture and parenting. And it's not just parents. It's parenting. It's social media. It's media. We've got
these
messages out there saying kids are fragile.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Kids are not fragile.
It reminds me, it's just an old line I love from an old TV show called 30-something. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yes.
But one of the single women says to her friend who's married, she's in her 30s, and she says, I want to have babies, and darn it, I'm dating babies. Referring to the guy she's going out with. And when you just said that, it reminded me of that line. You know, people are putting off growing up, all right? And we got to let grow. It's that simple, okay? There are certain things that are expected of you when you go to college, okay? And I know somebody who was on top of her kid's courses in college like he was in junior high school, and that's not good because she can't be there. If he becomes a doctor and performs surgery, little Irving, make sure you do the incision right, okay? That's not going to work. And that's very important, that background. Okay, of those three psychologists and experts, okay, really, really makes a difference. When did they, buddy, I'm going to say something again. This is to make sense when I'm talking about parents, but we're talking about the school side of it. When did they start to push this into schools and where?
So it was something that
I like
they
it, by
figured,
the way, but yeah, this is good. This is cool. Yeah.
They figured out that the way to reach the parents, the most parents, the most quickly, is through the schools. So although they're school programs, they're really designed to help parents.
Interesting.
Change.
Interesting.
It is an interesting way to go through that. And I think that at the time that they started this, they started it about 2.5 years ago, and they had created this Let Grow project, which was based on a free range project that Lenore Scanese initially had.
Yep.
And so that was really their first big project. We really saw some initial take up in the New York area. That's where Lenore is and where we're based. And we had some Riverhead School District in New Jersey was one where it kind of started. Mm-hmm. A teacher brought it in, and the whole school embraced it. Dr. Michael Hines was the superintendent there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had not only the Let Grow project going on throughout all of their grades, they also did the Let Grow Play Club, which is more around letting kids play with, you know, unstructured, very loose, if any, adult supervision.
Mm-hmm.
And they've grown that every year. And then another great example is in Wilton, Connecticut. They started doing the project and the play club in coordination with the youth council there. And so it's
uh-huh.
actually a full community. It's the schools working with the community organizations, and they're practically a Let Grow community, which is also allowing kids to be out and playing because everybody understands that they're not being neglected because they're playing in the park by themselves.
Wow. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That is just great. And I'm going to swing back. All this, has it had an effect on the – and it's, I realize only 2.5 years, so that's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachers that are getting used to this and working with it,
mm-hmm.
what are they saying about it? Not that it's just a good idea. It is. It obviously
right.
is a good idea.
Right.
But are they seeing results – in class? And again, it's only 2.5
yeah.
years, so I asked that question gingerly. But what's the feedback? Yeah.
Well, really the feedback that we get is that as these kids are doing it, especially the longer they do it, they are seeing improvements in their academics and their schoolwork. They're more able to be
mm-hmm.
accountable for the work that they're doing. And the other big thing is they are becoming better at doing things like project-based learning, individualized
yep.
and personalized learning, where you're in a situation. You know, I taught fourth grade, and we did book studies halfway through the year. I couldn't do it at the beginning of the year because the kids didn't know how to work independently. And so the crossover of the confidence and the understanding that it's okay to try something, it might not be perfect, and the
yeah.
the idea that I need to I can come up with things on my own and I don't have to necessarily, you know, make it look exactly like the teacher's example and things like that. So they definitely are seeing huge improvements in the social emotional learning, which absolutely ties into the academics.
I think it's kidding. I love the whole idea behind it. Have you gotten any feedback? And again, now we're only 6 months in, not 2.5 years in, 4 months in, actually, with the pandemic, the
yeah.
remote education. Okay. And it would seem to me, I'm going to start this with a compliment, it would seem to me that if kids have confidence in themselves and have a feeling that they can do something independently and build upon themselves, et cetera, and by the way, PBL, project-based learning, is so hot right now with remote
mm-hmm.
learning. Okay, the two things kind of
yep.
meld together. All right. And, you know, what have you heard from since the pandemic started? If you've heard anything, I assume
well,
you have.
We have.
But I think this is going to be key stuff because kids are going to be on their own 2-3 days a week, okay,
mm-hmm.
as best we can do in many
right.
cases.
Yeah,
not every
well,
case,
when the pandemic
any.
Struck we were really very – we're like, wow, okay, how are we going to do this and,
yeah.
and help get into the schools if there's no school happening? But what we actually found is all of a sudden kids had huge amounts of unstructured free time that they
That's right.
didn't have before. And so we actually did a research study looking
oh,
at
– I meant
the
to ask you about that, that you had a research
yeah.
study. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Go ahead. Please, continue.
So we did a research study, 800 U.S. parents, 800 unrelated kids, 8 to 13, across all geographic and economic demographics, and asked them a bunch of questions about how they were doing. And what we found is that independence was increasing. And so as bad as the pandemic is and as horrible as it was that kids were out of school,
there was some lemonade in this pile of lemons. There was some
there
lemonade
is, yes.
in this pile of
there
lemons.
Is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and what we found is that like 85% of the kids that were surveyed said they were learning new things on their own that weren't for school.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
they had time to
kids
explore and
this.
Do things. And
kids
be
crave
bored.
What you're offering. Kids crave
uh-huh.
the programs you're offering. That's
yep.
the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
They
yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So essentially, what we found is that is that for the stretch of time where everybody was kind of at a loss as to what to do, we saw kids learning how to cook, teaching themselves how to paint and play guitar. There were a couple of kids whose parents reported that they started mining Bitcoin on the internet. So that kind of stuff is good stuff. And for the coming up school year with the hybrid learning and those types of things, we do have some of our schools that are kind of designating certain days as your Let Grow Day so that kids can kind of take a break from the academic schoolwork but still be doing independent things and chores and help around the house. It takes pressure off everybody.
The school is saying, I trust you to learn something.
Yes.
Okay? And
absolutely.
That will go so far, but it has to be done in a structured way, which again, it's letgrow.org, everybody. That's what allows you to do it. And I just want to ask you this because this is you have other programs that are important to SEL. Am I right? Let Grow is one. And when I say you have other things besides Let Grow, is the whole company called letgrow.org?
Yes.
Or is there a bigger name and Let Grow's underneath that umbrella?
We're all Let Grow, and we have, if you go to our website, we have a lot of fabulous content that's directed at the parents and individual teachers. And so the school programs are really an extension of that and a way to bring it in to more kids in a more formalized way. We have our play club. We have a fabulous independent classroom kit we just released for teachers. And also a program called Moral Courage that brings in the independence of thought with older kids.
Right. And are you just working now in New York, Connecticut? Or, I mean, this is available to schools all over the country,
we're national.
Right?
We're national. They started in some of their first adopters. Are certainly up in the Northeast area. We're actually international, although that's not necessarily our goal. But I get requests from Zimbabwe and China and Canada, and it's really fascinating because what we're doing resonates with a lot of people.
It really does. So let's say a school just heard this. What should they do? Go to the website, contact you. What's the next step?
Yep. Actually, the easiest thing to do is to go to letgrow.org/schools. That'll take you right to the school programs page, and you can simply fill out a request form for whichever programs that you're interested in, and I'll send you the implementation guides. It's that easy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and letgrow.org, everybody, and I'm telling you, what you're saying, and it reflects I'm going to say it again what I said at the beginning of the show. It reflects the other side of what I truly believe about rigor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is rigorous, if I may, SEL. It's saying you can do this, okay? You can do this. We trust you to do this. You can do this. You will rise to a challenge, okay? And you can go challenge by challenge by challenge. This is key stuff, and it's one of the lemons of the lemonade. It's one of the lemonade glasses of lemonade from the lemons. Okay,
right.
That's what I wanted to say. Okay, I said the opposite. Okay, because this pandemic is going to do it's going to do some good. People are dying. Kids have to go through trauma. The schools are a mess. Parents are out of work, stuck at home. Whatever. I mean, you go right down the list. But some good's going to come out of it. Okay, and this is the kind of thing. And a 2.5-year-old program, it's time now to get this thing rolling and really, really good. Okay,
and
I agree, and that's why
I'm so glad to talk to you and get it out there.
Oh, it's wonderful. But I want to ask you one other thing. You heard me at the beginning, I'm sure, talk about our Consortium for Equity. Okay, and we're concerned about all kids everywhere. Getting the education they need. And I don't know if you thought about it, but I always like to ask the question. You know, for an equity format, things you assign to do in a lower socioeconomic class, I don't know where that would be, you can just put that up in your head, are different from the things you would assign to do in a very, very upscale suburb. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how does that, if I may, okay, how does that equity factor, if you'd like to answer that, I hope you can.
I would love to answer that,
please,
Larry.
Please do that.
It's something that's near and dear to my heart. I believe very strongly in equity, and I want to make sure that a lot of what we're doing at Let Grow doesn't necessarily focus just on certain economic areas and that type of thing. So the beauty of the Let Grow project is that it is so flexible and so basically personalized to that child or that area that it works anywhere. There is equity because the choice of the projects is related to the area. So what I find is we provide a list of some like project ideas that are categorized around things like chores or doing things outside, yeah, those types of things. And we provide that as an example. But we also very much encourage our schools and teachers to personalize that project list for their area. Because, for example, if you live in downtown New York, climbing a tree might not happen.
It's a long ride.
If you live in an area where there's a lot of gang violence and just stepping outside the door is dangerous, then you look at what kinds of things they can do. But Larry, I can tell you this. I think there is another silver lining in some of this independence, because I have absolutely noticed that kids from more challenging households, neighborhoods, families, certain cultural groups are much more focused on their kids doing things themselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a necessity. But in a lot of ways, it does look like the more privileged children are less independent. They have things done for them much more, whereas some of these other kids, they're doing a lot more independently by virtue of their circumstance. But how wonderful that's a leg up they've got on their more privileged counterparts.
What you're offering right now is great for it's great for any time, but it's great for the times we're living in right now. Okay, it's really, really important. I got some ideas I'm going to chat with you about. Okay, I'm bubbling an idea here. All right, I think I'm going to like it too. Okay, so I think you'll like it too. All right, so I'm going to get in touch with you today. All right, do I have your email? No, of course not. Do you have mine?
I'll give it to you because anybody else can have it. It's Andrea at letgrow.org.
Give me your email. Do it. Good.
Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, at letgrow.org.
Well, that's pretty easy.
It is, and anybody else who's interested in learning more, I'm happy to have you contact me directly. We like to provide
like
support.
It's like a HIPAA violation. I didn't want to break the rules and put you on the spot to give your email over the over
nope,
the air.
You didn't ask.
Now that we all
know
it, Andrea at letgrow.org. And I am going to get back to you because I got an idea on this. I got to talk to somebody else at our consortium, and I think I got something cool here that I'm thinking of. All right?
Awesome. Sounds good.
Sounds good. Okay. It's wonderful. This is cool. Let's do a lot of work together and get this thing out there. It's good.
I appreciate the help, Andrea. And change the world.
Let's do it. I'm telling you. And enjoy Vegas. Stay away from the casinos.
Okay? Yes, I will. Thanks so much.
And don't just wear a mask. Wear like a complete hazmat suit if you go into the casinos.
Well, okay? I just don't even go into the casinos.
Yeah.
I'm staying home.
If you live
much.
In Vegas, you just don't. Okay,
it's
there all the time, so why bother?
Yeah.
Okay, but that said, let me just make one point. I do enjoy going to Vegas when things are normal. It is an adult Disneyland. I have a great time. So enjoy yourself there.
It
but
is.
We'll be talking soon, okay?
All right, sounds good, Larry. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Andrea Keith, everybody, VP of School Programs. This is cool, and this is key. At letgrow.org. I like this thing. This is a good idea. Okay, good stuff. Okay, building confidence in kids. These days, more important than ever. Although it's always important. What more can I say? Letgrow.org. Check it out. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Okay, and we'll tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. Facebook is Education Talk Radio, and also my name, Larry Jacobs, and LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs. And please, equity, that's what it's all about these days. Okay, everybody I talk to, join with us at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you, Ross Romano, for helping me set up the show, and Andrea, you did great. Thanks a million.